1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Begin reading this morning at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of His Word to our hearts this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that we can come as Your people, that we can come as Your children. Lord, forgive us when we have conceived of You as a nasty ogre who with a club or a whip delightedly waits to beat those who come who are not perfect in every detail. Lord, it may very well be that's why many folks don't come. For none of us is without fault or blemish. Lord, sometimes we're comfortable with that image because we can hold You at arm's length and say, You leave us alone, we'll leave You alone. But that's not why You created us, and that's not why You redeemed us. God, forgive me if I have ever reinforced that hideous image of who You are. Holy, yes. Perfect. In every detail. But You're not a God who delights in beating Your children. You delight in welcoming them and loving them, ministering to them and nurturing them. And so You bid us come. And I say, Lord, I've got a spot on my shirt. You say, come anyway. Lord, my shoes aren't polished. Come anyway. Lord, I've got a run in my hose. Come anyway. Oh, Lord, my hair needs something. Come anyway. Lord, if only it was those cosmetic things. But You know that many of us say, Lord, I cheated someone this week. Come anyway. Lord, I gossiped this week. Come anyway. Lord, I squandered time and opportunity. Come anyway. Lord, I said some things I shouldn't have said. Come anyway. Lord, I'm struggling with some big things. Come anyway. Lord, I don't feel like coming. Come anyway. Oh, Lord, remind us that we come into Your presence because of Your grace and Your mercy and the blood of Christ Jesus. So may we take our eyes off ourselves and may we put them upon You. And seeing Him, even Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, may we be encouraged to come. For we come in His righteousness. We come in His life. We come in His power. And so we come boldly. We come thankfully. And when we come, You pick us up. You sit us on Your lap and You put Your arms around us. The great God of the universe is also our Heavenly Father who loves us far more than we can ever imagine. Lord, thank You for the rest that comes to our souls when we can snuggle in Your lap even for a few minutes. Lord, some have weariness of body. Some have weariness of soul. Some battle addiction, some have personality problems, some have relationship problems. Lord, we're all here and we are all needy. But it's not our neediness that we focus on. It is You in Your glory, in Your perfection, in Your love, in Your redemption. We are Your people. The sheep of Your pasture. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for letting us come. Thank You for letting us simply be still. Thank You, Father, that we can come and not ask for a thing. Just praise You. Just love You. Just enjoy Your presence and Your peace. We love You, Lord Jesus. And our prayer is that You would be exalted in the preaching of Your Word by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of the Father. Amen. As we return to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we see that he addresses another area of concern to the church there. Chapters 12, 13, and 14 will address the topic of spiritual gifts. If you have been anything but in a coma the last 30 years in the church, you know that this has been a hot topic. In fact, it's amazing as I look back over the years of my ministry how in so many places, dealing with so many people, this same topic has been a source of discussion and division. Things haven't changed a whole lot, it seems. And here we see Paul addressing this issue, which was bringing great division in the church at Corinth. It has brought great division in the modern church as well. This issue is quite serious, and its potential to divide seems to know no bounds. What a tragedy. For that which God gave to His church to build up the church has been used and abused to bring division. In our text this morning, Paul states as clearly as can be stated that God Himself alone is the source of all spiritual gifts in His church. If you don't learn anything else, remember that. That is the overarching principle which helps us as we look and study and seek to discern what it is God has done and is doing in His church with respect to these gifts. Remember, the giving of the gifts is God's alone. And because of that, there shouldn't be any pride. There shouldn't be any arrogance. There shouldn't be any division that comes as these gifts are manifested and exercised in the body. But we're not home yet. And they weren't either. Perfection has not yet come, so we still struggle. And we must learn from our Corinthian brothers and sisters, or we will be doomed to repeat their mistakes. The first thing I want us to do this morning is to begin with Paul's introduction. You see that in verses 1 through 3. This is how he introduces the topic. Paul is concerned about their ignorance when it comes to the topic of spiritual gifts. And you may be sitting there and saying, boy, if they were ignorant, I'm lost. It's okay. They were ignorant, and that was Paul's concern because it was their ignorance that was bringing the division. It was their lack of knowledge and discernment, their lack of wisdom. Now, we've seen before in our study of this Corinthian letter that these people, while incredibly gifted and blessed, were not very mature. Sometimes I think we look at some of the things around us and probably have the same frustration that some in the church at Corinth had. I think especially of the athletes today who in college are treated as though they're gods, simply awaiting the jackpot which is to come when they're drafted in the professional ranks. And sometimes we become incredibly frustrated because we forget that these are kids. 18, 19, 20-year-old young men who have incredible physical skills. And some of them, who seem to have no sense in any other area of their life, can focus on a particular sport and be brilliant in the ability to think and react and to do. And they get into all kinds of trouble. And yet, what do we expect? It seems as though they're thrown into a world for which they are ill-prepared. They're not mature enough to handle all that they have. I would submit to you that there are few, if any, 20-year-olds who know how to handle $50 million. It's a personal observation, but I'm not sure there are many 50-year-olds know how to handle $50 million. And then we wonder why they do some of the things they do. We do it with our own children and grandchildren. We say, oh, if I had that when I was your age, yeah, you'd have done the same stupid things. Think about some of the things you did. And if I ever doubt God's mercy, I just remember my teenage years. Incredibly merciful, or I wouldn't be here today. You see, the people at Corinth weren't very mature. And just because you're immature doesn't mean you don't have abilities and giftedness. Some of the most gifted people I've ever read about were immature. I think that was Mozart's problem. He was a musical genius. I still marvel at his ability to simply sit down and hear things in his head and write them out and they play them. It's incredible. But read his life, he wasn't very mature. You see, possessing the gifts doesn't necessarily mean you have the sense to use them. My dad used to say, the law says at 16 you can take a test and get a license to drive. He said, that doesn't mean you have sense enough to do it properly. I argued with him terribly, but you know, he was smarter than I was. And I think the age should be about 25. You see, it's not about possessing something, whether skill or possession. It's the maturity to use it wisely. That was the problem at Corinth. I would submit to you that that's much of the problem in the church today. What all this division and uproar in the church demonstrated was their ignorance of what it meant to be a follower of Christ. You see, they were just immature. And it doesn't seem as though they were progressing quite as quickly as they should have. In fact, Dr. Kistelmaker points out in his commentary, Paul does not want the Corinthians to be ignorant of the proper use of spiritual gifts. Instead of using them for the benefit of fellow believers, some Corinthians displayed these gifts as badges of superiority. Of these gifts, they considered the gift of speaking in tongues unique and of great importance. And in the next three chapters, Paul shows the Corinthians how to evaluate and use spiritual gifts. They were immature. They didn't know how to use what God had given to them. But notice, the crux of the matter in verse 3 is that the work of the Holy Spirit will always affirm the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can take that to the bank. The work of the Holy Spirit in the Church of Jesus Christ, corporately or individually, will always affirm the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does not work and labor to exalt Himself. His task in the Godhead is to affirm the Lordship of Jesus Christ the Son to the glory of God the Father. As one commentator said, when you see the Holy Spirit exalted, you know it's not the Holy Spirit at work. As one seminary professor said, the Holy Spirit is the modesty of God. He does not draw attention to Himself. He always focuses the attention on Jesus Christ the Lord. And the exercise of spiritual gifts in the church will always do the same. Anything that does not do that is not from God. Why a lot that goes on in churches today is not from God. We hear a lot in the name of religion and Christianity about who Jesus is, but if who He is not affirmed in the fact that He is the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, who died on Calvary's cross to redeem the people of God, then it's wrong. It's not He's a good teacher. It's not He's a nice guy. It's not all these things that people say to hedge their bets. He either is who He says He is, or it's wrong. We've got it terribly, horribly wrong. And the Holy Spirit will always bring us to that conclusion. Now in verses 6 through 11, Paul emphasizes the giver of the gifts. The emphasis in Corinth had been on the ones who were exercising the gifts. But Paul goes back to the beginning so they can totally understand what God is doing in His church. And he, in verses 6 through 11, speaks of the giver of the gifts. It is clear that the Trinity is involved. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's God who gives the gifts. If you notice in verse 4, it says the same Spirit. In verse 5, it says the same Lord. In verse 6, it says the same God. In fact, in these verses, 6 through 11, you see that word same 6 different times. Do you think Paul was trying to drive something home? You bet he was. There's a diversity of giftedness in the body, but it's the same God who gives the gifts and the ministries. And if it's not of God, we don't need it. One of the most difficult things in America today, in my generation and those older than me, is to know how to let go and let God the Holy Spirit lead His church. We weren't taught that. We weren't raised that way. We do church like we do work. We come in, we assess the situation, we try to take the book, the rule book that we're given, and we come up with a solution, and we apply it, and we say, God bless our efforts. And that's not how God built His church. That's how men build institutions. But it's not how you build the church. And Paul tells these people, it's the same God, Father, Son, and Spirit, who is at work in His church, and though He gives different people different gifts, it's His work in you and in the body. And if it's not His work, it shouldn't be there. Verses 6 and 11 point out the fact that God gives to each one. Each and every believer has a gift from God. Do you know what your gift is? See, some folks have more than one, but everybody has one. When you stop and consider that truth, the story Jesus told about the stewards becomes incredibly uncomfortable. Remember, there was one who was given 5 talents, and one who was given 3, and one who was given 1. The first two went and invested their talents. They were given gifts. Not the same amount, but the same Lord gave the gifts. What happened to the one with the 1 talent? He excused his slothfulness by blaming the master. Might have gone something like this. Well, now, master, you know that when you got 5 talents, it's easy to turn over. You got to have money to make money. And with 3 talents, you know, the guy you gave it to, why, man, he can make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. But me, I'm just little old me. I just have 1 talent. And I know that you're going to demand something, so I went and buried that in the ground. What did the master say? You're evil. You would blame me for your stupidity and sloth. One, you were too lazy to even think what options might be before you. And two, you're just covering your own backside, so you went and buried it. At least you could have put it in the bank and drawn interest off of it. But all you thought about was yourself and how you could blame me and make an excuse for not doing what I called you to do. Every believer has a gift. What are you doing with the gift? Say, preacher, I don't know what that gift is. Then you better find out, hadn't you? Because you will give an account for what you've done with the gift. You see, some people just simply neglect the gift. Others abuse the gift. And some pervert the gift. But everybody's got a gift. At least one. And Paul says, every believer has a spiritual gift, which is the gift of God. We didn't earn it. We didn't buy it. We didn't draw numbers for it. We didn't petition. God gives as He deems. Why? For the common good. Can you imagine how worthless my gift would be if I preached to myself alone? If I hoarded my gift, if I took the abilities that God has given to me and I studied and prepared a sermon and then came here at 8 o'clock in the morning and preached to empty pews and said, I'm not worthy, I'm not good. No, you're not worthy, you're not good enough, and all that's true, but that's not the point. The point is that He's the one who deems. And He says, here's what I give you, what are you going to do with it? It's the good of the whole church. When pastors fail, the whole church suffers. But let me tell you something. They also suffer just as greatly, if not more, when the elders fail and the deacons fail and the Sunday school teachers fail and those who are given the gift of helps and mercy fail. When those who are given the gift of faith, when they fail, and we all suffer. You say, I like it better when I just have to show up and put a little money in the plate and let somebody else worry about it. Yeah, I would too. But that's not how it is, because it's family. And when you're in family, everybody matters. And when one part of the family hurts, everybody hurts. You ever been with a family, maybe a large family that had 8 or 9 kids, They have a get-together maybe at Christmas or sometime, and one child is not able to come. You always hear the parents say, "Boy, this is wonderful. This is so good. But I wish Johnny could have been here." Why? Because they're part of the family. And the family's not whole if everybody's not there. And we're not whole. And we're not healthy if we're not all using our gifts. My assessment is the American church, our church, conservatively, we resemble a baseball team that has 9 positions and only 1 player. And then we wonder why we don't have a chance to win. Because the preacher can't do it all. The staff can't do it all. The leadership can't do it all. If God has called you and placed you in this body, then He's called you and put you here with your giftedness, with all the things He's given you, to make this body whole and healthy and productive. And if you're not doing what God's called you to do, then we're misfiring. I used to race cars a little bit, and I knew very little about them, but I knew this. When you got a miss, then you had a hitch and you get along. You can have this big engine, it can be sleek, it can be sharp, but the least little thing that causes it to miss means you're not going to be competitive. That's why we checked our gasoline, make sure it was good, didn't have any water impurities in it. That's why we checked our spark plugs, because just a little bit of carbon on the spark plug could cause enough of a miss. You lose performance. And the name of the game is performance. You say, well, that's cars and that's baseball teams. It's also the body. Talk to Mom. Mom, when the kids and Dad don't pull their weight, what's it like around the house? It can be sheer torment trying to keep up. We need each other. We need the gifts. I need you. You know, I've preached that everywhere I've been, and people look at you like you're nuts. Why, preacher, you got it all together. I keep telling you, I don't have it all together. I need you more than you need me. You say, well, we know you need us. No, I can make a living. I'm not that bad off. I can make a living. But I need you. I need your gifts. I need what you bring to the body. I need your part of the family. There is a place you have that no one else can fill. And when you're not there and when you don't do it, we all hurt. I need your gifts. You will never know. Some of you have a ministry of encouragement and how you have kept me going. Some of you have a ministry of prayer because you have faith. And when you pray, you believe God's going to do it because He's given you that gift. And He honors that, and I'm still here. See, I need you. We need each other. And the purpose of these gifts is not to exalt ourselves, not to build ourselves up. It's to build up the body. It's out of this great diversity that the Holy Spirit brings unity in Christ. So we should be one of the most eclectic and beautiful and diverse groups who ever rallied together and were one. My sister and I are about as different as two kids can be, growing up in the same house, daylight and dark. But I look back and see that each one of us brought something that the other one couldn't possibly have brought to our parents and to each other. And there are times I say, oh, if I could be like her in this way. See, we need each other. And the division we see in Corinth, and sometimes the division we see in the church, must break the heart of God because it's just the opposite of all He intended to do. The gifts are not ours so we can boast. The gifts are His so He can be glorified, so His children can be blessed. Now, there are three principles we glean that we need to have firmly in our minds as we continue this study. The first is this: spiritual gifts will always affirm the Lordship of Christ. Remember that as we go through this study. Some of you are going to go home, you're going to read these chapters. Remember, spiritual gifts will always affirm the Lordship of Christ. Secondly, spiritual gifts are given at the discretion of God. So you don't petition God. I've heard people say, oh, you need to pray for this. No, you don't. A gift is not a gift if you had to lobby for it. I used to do that with my grandparents. And my dad says, that's not much of a gift if you've kind of backed them into a corner. I said, it is to me. Works for me. This gift is when they give it out of their own generosity and love, not because you've manipulated them. You see, spiritual gifts are given by God at His discretion. So, there's no place for boasting save in Him. There's no place for jealousy or envy. Because see, if you're envious of me, your problem's not with me, it's with God who gave me the gift. If I'm envious or jealous of you, my problem's not with you, my problem's with the God who gave you that gift. And as we recognize the gifts that each of us has been given, where does the praise go? To God. And we recognize that God has given to each one as He deems appropriate and necessary. Then thirdly, spiritual gifts are for the good of the church, not the individual. Now that's hard for me because I've always been a selfish child. At my house, if I wasn't, my sister would have torn everything I ever had apart. But I'm too selfish. I'm my own man. I like doing things my way. And I think I'm right, generally. God did not give us gifts so that we could use them for our own good in manipulating, in using, in lording it over people. They are gifts to be used to build up our brothers and sisters in the faith for the good of the church. They are not our individual possessions. It's one of the hardest things I had to learn. My dad would say, here, I'm going to give you this money and it's for you and your sister. Yeah, right. And I began to think, now how can I get her part? And I was good at it. You see, we tend to do that. God, you gave it to me and now it's mine. No, it isn't. It's His. It's His that He has given to us so that we might glorify Him in ministry to His body. Spiritual gifts are not for us, the individual, to gloat and glory and brag about. They're given for the benefit of the church. The context for spiritual gifts is always the church. Always. It's never the individual. It's always the context of the body wherein we are built up as we minister one to another. And in that, Christ is glorified. And how sad that in Corinth, that which was given to build up and to bless was being used and abused to tear down and to curse. What are you doing with your spiritual gifts? You squandering them? You investing them? You using them? You abusing them or perverting them? God, out of His own mercy and grace, has seen fit to gift every child in His family. Have you ever given a special gift? Maybe it was your kid's birthday, a special birthday. And you've been planning for a couple years just the right gift to maybe mark the rite of passage or, you know, some big event in your family, and you say, this has got to be the right gift, and you just do everything, and maybe you have to go to great lengths to get this special gift. And the day after, you see it tossed aside in a corner, neglected. How's it make you feel? Wonder how God feels when He looks at His church and sees what we do with His gifts. Have you ever given a gift that turned out to be a curse rather than a blessing? I guess my mom and dad felt that way when they gave me a BB gun. My dad insisted that I have one. My mom insisted that I have no BBs. No wonder we grow up confused. However, I was a resourceful child, and my sister was a torment. And she kept making fun of me because I couldn't shoot her because I didn't have any BBs. So I cocked that BB gun and bent down and picked up a little rock, dropped it in, and proceeded to blast her a good one. And I proved to her she was wrong. I could shoot her, but oh, the price I paid. The only time I think my dad really beat me, the last thing I remember is he just grabbed me upside down like this and was flailing away, and my mom in the background, "I told you not to buy him that." There are some gifts that are not used properly and become a source of anything but blessing. How do you feel when that happens? Now, we know that we make mistakes, but God doesn't. So what must it be like in the heart of God, who so lovingly and graciously gives His children good and perfect gifts, and then they turn those gifts on each other to tear each other down and to bring division? Stop and ask yourself, if you hadn't grown up in the church, you were an unbeliever, and you could come and sit and observe for a month, would there be anything that caused you to want to be part of this group? Is there anything here you can't get somewhere else? Oh, I know we're going to jump and say, oh, the gospel. Okay, good. They hear that. They hear that in a lot of places. Is there anything here that would cause them to want to be part of this group? In the early church, the Romans, who were so suspicious of the church, had to admit that the church was a unique and wonderful place because they loved each other. And they enjoyed being together. And they helped each other. And they were one in spirit. And they admired that. Because that kind of unity doesn't just happen. It's out of this diversity that the Holy Spirit brings unity to the glory of Christ. What are you doing with your gift? Have you buried it at home? Or are you using it to be a blessing? We've all got one. What are we doing with it? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray that we would not be like the folks at Corinth, who in their immaturity and in their pride and arrogance use those good and perfect gifts to divide rather than to build. Lord, I thank You for the precious souls in this fellowship who know their giftedness and are so faithful. Oh, what a blessing they are. And much of the life in this church comes not from the preacher, not from the staff, but from godly men and women who are faithful in the exercise of their gifts of prayer and encouragement, showing love, mercy. Lord, I pray that You would stir our hearts so that we would be challenged to consider what it is we are doing with the gifts You've entrusted to us. Now, Father, there may be some here who say, I don't know anything about this giftedness, and the reason is because they don't know You. The gifts come to those who know You, who have been forgiven and are changed in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I would pray that rather than seeking the gift, they would seek the giver. That Holy Spirit of God, You would draw them out of their sinfulness, draw them into Your grace, so that they might be made new. And then You will gift them to be a blessing to Your church. Oh Lord, even as we leave this day, let us be a blessing. As we use our gifts, as we enjoy each other's gifts, as we simply enjoy each other because we're family, because of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.